This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
News guy Noah Ovshinsky is back with us for our state news roundup. He drops by every week at this time. Today, a look at the top stories of the week, including the latest results from the Marquette poll and the races for governor and attorney general. Noah, welcome back.
It's good to be here. Good afternoon and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you as well. So this week, more confirmation that the race for governor is tight. What did we see?
Well, that's right. It's been tight for weeks. With this latest Marquette poll, it suggests this race, in fact, is very, very, very tight. This week's poll has both Governor Walker and Mary Burke tied among likely voters. And this is a pretty big change from the previous poll, which was released 2 weeks ago, which had Walker up by 5 points among likely voters.
So where inside the numbers did we see those changes?
The change, at least in part, are due to the independents in the state. In the last poll, Walker led this particular group 53% to Burke's 40%. And this week now, 2 weeks later, the margin shrunk and actually flipped with these independent voters. Burke is now leading with this group 45-44.
I've seen responses from partisans on either side complaining about either the poll 2 weeks ago or the poll this week being an outlier. But this race is close. It has been all along. Is it unusual that it's this close with just a few weeks until Election Day?
According to experts, to some extent it is. Pollster Charles Franklin, who conducts the Marquette poll, has said that he's surprised that no candidate has actually started breaking away or has sustained a lead for any period of time. And right now, neither of those things have really happened.
So what is it? Is it something about the state, something about the candidates? Why is this still so close?
Well, Charles Franklin told the Journal Sentinel that he thinks one reason is that people have a lot of practice, essentially, thinking of Walker as a candidate. You know, they have already made up their mind. I mean, this is the third time in 4 years people are going to the polls to decide whether or not they want him as a governor. And, of course, traditionally, gubernatorial candidates, you know, I'll call it, you know, they face less electoral scrutiny, I guess.
Third time in 4 years. You know, I know the numbers, but I hadn't thought of it in that way.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have either voted for him or voted against him in the last 4 years. And so I think people's minds, for the most part, are set.
Now, again, beneath the main numbers there, anything else striking about what we discovered?
Yeah, if you dig into the numbers a bit, I think the other interesting bit of polling has to do with the gender gap. And the headline here is that it's actually largely disappeared. In the last poll, this is again 2 weeks ago, men supported Walker by a 28-point margin. And women favored Burke by a 14-point margin. That was 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. In this latest poll, men favored Walker by only a 2% margin, and Burke's lead with women shrunk to only 1%. So that's a pretty dramatic change on both counts.
Now, turning to the other big statewide race, the race for attorney general in Wisconsin.
Right. So like the governor's race, this one is also going to be probably a nail biter. According to the latest poll, Brad Schimmel and Susan Happ are dead even among likely voters at 42%. Each. Now, where the race differs from the governor's race is in the percentage of undecided voters. We've talked about in the governor's race that stands at about 4%, give or take. But in the race for attorney general, the number of undecided voters jumps significantly to 16%.
So why so many more undecided voters in the attorney general race?
Well, there are still a lot of people out there who frankly don't know enough about either candidate to have an opinion. And that number stands at 74% for Brad Schimmel and 72% for Susan Happ. And those numbers, frankly, have only changed, you know, slightly since the last poll. So there are an awful lot of people who just don't know enough about these candidates to have an opinion.
That's not as high profile a race as the race for governor.
It's not as high profile. And, you know, name recognition comes into play here. You know, they simply aren't that well known outside, I'll call them sort of the areas of influence, I guess. You know, in Brad Schimmel's case, that's Waukesha County. In Susan Happ's case, it's Jefferson County.
Are you working election night this year?
I am.
caffeine up, my man. You're late. Really, really late. Well, I'm getting back now away from the Marquette poll. What's some of the latest news going on here in the governor's race?
Yeah, so one of the big stories really of the week for me actually has to do with what Mary Burke told the Journal Sentinel editorial board earlier this week. And she really began, really for the first time, to distance herself from former Governor Jim Doyle. As you might remember, she served as the Secretary of Commerce in his administration.
And so why bring Doyle up at this point? That's in a way she might want to look at that as ancient history.
Right. Well, Governor Walker has spent a lot of time during the campaign attacking Burke for her connection to Doyle. Governor Walker has basically said a vote for Burke would essentially mean a return to the Doyle era, a time when there were, you know, large deficits and higher unemployment.
So why bring this up now, just a few weeks off from Election Day?
Well, in the closing weeks of this race, you know, I think this was a very clear attempt by Mary Burke to blunt that particular line of attack that the governor has been using.
So how did she try to separate? What kind of messaging did she use to try to separate herself from the previous Democratic regime here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so Burke criticized the former governor on a few different fronts. One, for raiding the transportation fund to pay for other things. And she also criticized him for the tuition hikes of 5% that were commonplace at that point.
Okay, and anything else on some of the core, you know, jobs or tax and spending issues?
Yeah, Burke also criticized Doyle for raising income taxes on the wealthiest Wisconsinites.
So a Democrat criticizing a Democrat for raising taxes on the wealthy.
It's a bit unusual, and as Sean Johnson pointed out in his reporting this week, you know, she's criticizing Doyle for raising taxes on the wealthiest. At the same time, she's criticizing Walker for offering tax breaks for the rich. So kind of an unusual situation there.
Well, before we move away from elections, Noah, I'll remind people to join us Friday tonight at 7 for the second of two gubernatorial debates sponsored by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. It features Governor Scott Walker and Mary Burke. That's the WA gubernatorial debate tonight at 7 on WPR. People can also follow election news over at wisconsinvote.org. So another story outside of the direct world of politics here, getting a lot of attention from Milwaukee, the latest in a police-involved shooting there.
Right. So this is a case that has been really closely watched by many people in Milwaukee and elsewhere. And just to rewind a little bit, Officer Christopher Manny of the Milwaukee Police Department shot and killed an unarmed black man, Dontre Hamilton, during a struggle in a city park back in April. The killing touched off a series of protests in Milwaukee. You know, the use of force, especially when involving people who are, you know, potentially mentally ill, has been in the news a lot lately. And the community has been waiting to see what would happen to the police officer who was involved.
Yeah, definitely a hot topic, not just in Wisconsin, but on the national level as well. So what happened this week?
Well, Milwaukee Police Chief Ed Flynn announced that Officer Manny had been fired essentially for failing to follow the proper procedure.
How so?
Well, Flynn said that Manny, you know, correctly identified Hamilton as somebody who was emotionally disturbed, but should not have tried to pat down Hamilton when he did. It was that pat down that was sort of the catalyst for the struggle that eventually led to the shooting.
Now, what have we heard in response to this?
Well, the Hamilton family, said, you know, they are glad that Manny has been fired. But Dontre's brother, Nathaniel, would like to see the Milwaukee County DA file criminal charges against
right.
the officer.
And that's the big question mark still out there, whether criminal charges would be filed. Where is that now?
No word yet from DA John Chisholm. A new state law requires outside agencies to investigate officer-involved shootings, and that investigation is still being reviewed at the moment by the DA's office.
And I've seen in the news today police unions and a city councilman challenger to the mayor of Milwaukee are angry about this,
yeah.
saying it's cowardly to
yeah,
fire
this officer.
Yeah,
the police union was not happy with the firing of the officer.
Okay, and I know Chuck Kornbach over in Milwaukee will continue following this down the road.
He has and will continue to, yep.
All right, Noah, as always, thanks for joining us and bringing us up to date.
It was good to be here. Thanks for having me.
That was Noah Ovshinsky. He's our news guy here on Central Time, the official title, though, WPR's Assistant News Director. He joins us each week to catch up on the big stories going on here in Wisconsin.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Keep track of what we're doing. Share your thoughts on some of the big stories of the day over at the Central Time Facebook page. You can always tweet us also at Central Time WPR. Stick around. More to come here on Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.